Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. I will open in prayer, and then I'll bring on our host. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful again for your presence with us today. Grateful for all that you have accomplished. We've been through a rough week, and we know that it's only our faith in you and looking back on the week and Charlie's faith in you that really makes the difference. If as Paul says, if we grieved as if we had no hope, then we would revert to the behavior of our enemies and resort to violence. But we have hope. We have hope that not only will you restore this country, but we have hope that we will ultimately get to spend eternity with you and with those who have passed on before us. So Lord, we're grateful for this great country that you've given us, grateful for the freedoms that we have experienced, grateful for the Constitution. We're about to celebrate Constitution Day tomorrow. And so, Lord, we just thank you that you gave our founders the wisdom to put it together in a way that enables the United States of America to be the most free, the most prosperous nation in the history of the world, and that we continue to be that, even though we've strayed from your plans and purposes, yet you continue to pour out your blessings on us. And so, Lord, again, we're praying for that you would turn us back to our founding principles, but, Lord, we're also knowing that you have good plans for us. You haven't brought us this far to leave us, and so we're trusting in you for the days ahead. So bless this call. Bless Bishop Jackson as he shares with us what his vision is for Constitution Day and for the days ahead, and may your Holy Spirit guide and direct us in everything that we say and do, in Jesus' name, amen. Now here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop?
Yeah, thank you, Marlon. Sorry about that. I was muted while I was listening. This is obviously a poignant time. I want to thank all of you for taking time out to be with us today. And the first thing I want to say is we really dedicate this program to Charlie Kirk's memory because we are preparing to celebrate Constitution Day. And I sit at a conference, a Truth and Liberty conference, this past week, there couldn't be a better embodiment of what it means to be a citizen in a constitutional republic than Charlie Kirk, because he was out there actually engaging with people, wanting to talk to people who didn't agree with him, and wanting to persuade them that he was right. So his Prove Me Wrong tour was, okay, come on, talk, tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me what you think I believe that is not right. And you see the videos very often of him asking people to explain, okay, what is it I've said and what is it I've done that makes me a fascist? And you watch them just stumble because there is nothing. They have no clue what a fascist is. They certainly have no clue that Charlie Kirk is a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was espousing a biblical worldview for the family and for society in general, and that's what they didn't like. And so they call that fascism because essentially anything that you say that is in disagreement with their viewpoint gets you labeled as a fascist. And, of course, I've also been – I shouldn't be shocked or shouldn't even be disappointed at this point – but to see so many black folks, pastors, denouncing Charlie Kirk, saying, you know, there's nothing to mourn about here. I'm not going to honor his life. I'm not, you know, a pastor up in Northern Virginia, I think it's called Alfred Street Baptist Church up there. That pastor apparently said in the sermon that, or said on Sunday that, you know, we're not called to honor people who are committed to evil. Charlie Kirk apparently was committed to evil, but then I looked at the website of the church, and the church is all about race. And so, once again, they've simply bought into this mantra, Charlie Kirk is a racist, Charlie Kirk is a fascist. And when you ask people, okay, well, exactly what is it that he said or done that gives you that impression or based upon which you draw that conclusion? And there's nothing. I mean, look, folks, Charlie Kirk was no more perfect than you and me. He accomplished a great deal in a very, very short lifetime. And I'm grateful to God for what he accomplished. If we honored people because everything they said and the way in which they said it was always absolutely 100% right on all counts in every way, we wouldn't honor anybody. There would be nobody to honor except Jesus. But we honor people not because they're perfect, not because they've never said or done anything that we thought, well, I wouldn't put it that way, I wouldn't have said that. We honor them because we see how God is using their lives and we see the impact that they're having and we know the trajectory of their lives is good. You know, you can find, I say George Washington is my favorite American figure. But look, you can find things about George Washington to criticize. You can find things to criticize about George Washington, about James Madison, about George Mason, about Patrick Henry, about Abraham Lincoln, about Frederick Douglass, about Martin Luther King. You can go right down the line and pick any American figure you want, or any human figure for that matter. And if you look, you're going to find things that you say, well, man, that's off, or that's not quite right. But that's because we're human beings. We're not perfect specimens. The question is, has God done something great with Charlie Kirk's life? And was the trajectory of his life good and decent and honorable? And the answer is resoundingly yes. So whatever, and again, you ask people what they have a problem with, they don't have anything specific. But even if they could find something specific, it would not discount the good he's done. Charlie Kirk was not a racist. Charlie Kirk was not a fascist. Charlie Kirk was not evil. Charlie Kirk was a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was trying to do what he could to advance the truth of God's word and the vision for America that would have God's word as preeminent. And so I, without any equivocation or hesitation, I honor Charlie Kirk's memory, and we're praying for his family and for all of the people who knew him. And, you know, it's interesting. I have friends who knew him very well and would often say to me, you know, do you know Charlie Kirk? I said, well, no, of course I know of him, but I don't think I've ever met him. He said, well, man, we got to get you together with Charlie Kirk. He would love you. You would love him. You all on the same page, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, you know what? That'll be great. That'll be great. I look forward to having that happen. And he and I were going to meet on Thursday. Little did I know, he was not going to be at that meeting. He was not going to make it because he was going to be taken out of time and hurled into eternity. And when I got the news on Wednesday, as a matter of fact, or maybe it was, yeah, I guess it was shortly after it happened, I think I was having a meeting on, wait a minute, was that Wednesday or Tuesday? But we were having a conference call, me and my staff, and somebody said, I just got the word that Charlie Kirk's been shot and that he's dead. I have to tell you, I could not wrap my brain around it. I really couldn't. I mean, the first words out of my mouth, which I look back on and say, well, boy, that was a stupid thing to say, was, well, you're kidding. Because it just didn't register. I couldn't process it. And then, of course, I knew the person saying it wouldn't be joking about something like that, but that was all I could think of to say, because I just couldn't believe that that was true. And then I come to find out, and if you saw the video, which I hope you didn't, because, boy, that thing is indelibly burned into your consciousness, I believe that the young man was dead instantly, because I saw it, and it was, I mean, to me, it was over immediately. It just took them a while to figure it out, or maybe hoping that by some miracle they could resuscitate him. It was a vicious, demonic, nasty thing to do, and the man who did it, he better repent, or he's going to answer to Almighty God for having done this vicious act. I'd say also, it's the third time now in, what, about the last year that we've seen transgenderism at least involved in. Now, this man wasn't a transgender, but he was obviously a sexual deviant because he was living with a guy who's pretending to be a woman, I guess calling himself a transgender or something. That was his boyfriend, girlfriend. I here again, I don't even know how you put this stuff. It defies vocabulary, frankly. So this is the third time with the shooting down in Nashville, the shooting in Minneapolis, and now the assassination of Charlie Kirk, where this transgenderism seems to be generating this violent reaction to those who won't go along. And again, to me, it's just further proof, not that we need any, that this stuff is truly demonic. It is truly demonic. Three very violent acts, all related to transgenderism. And this guy called Charlie Kirk a fascist. I believe what he was really saying is Charlie Kirk doesn't approve of the way I'm living, and that makes him a fascist. Well, that makes the Bible fascist. That makes Jesus fascist, because God doesn't approve of the way you're living, the way these people are living, and God is full of love for them. And frankly, so are we. That's the final thing I'll say about this, that no matter what they do, no matter what they say, no matter what they do to us, no matter what they say about us, we're going to love them, and we're going to pray for them. We're not seeking to hurt anybody. We're not seeking to kill anybody. We're not seeking to threaten anybody. What we hope is that these people who are so misguided, who are opposing themselves, will ultimately come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and ultimately reconcile with God and seek his forgiveness in repentance of their sins. That's what we hope for them. But apparently they have a very different plan for us. As you all have seen, some of these responses I just find so exceedingly wicked. Part of me is so – I'm just so frustrated with this kind of behavior that I think, you know, it's a waste of my time to even respond to these people. It really is, because how can you reason with people who are that heartless? How can you reason? Because this is beyond reason. This goes to a level of demonic, degenerate lack of conscience that you just don't know how you can even talk to a person who thinks that way. I mean, it's one thing to disagree about, you know, a policy or disagree about a particular issue, but to celebrate a man being viciously murdered, leaving a wife and two young children, and to think that this is somehow something good, I don't even know what to say to folks like that. But I did respond to this one guy, this guy who pastors this church up in Northern Virginia, who posted, you know, I'm not going to honor somebody who is evil and a racist. And my response is to all of them, prove it. Prove it. Tell me what he said, what he did that causes you to slander him and to slander his memory as a racist and a fascist. And explain to me, and then I looked at the website and saw it's all about black this and black that, and you know, they're supporting the Palestinians over Israel. And I said, you know, actually, if anybody is racist, it's probably you, and your congregation is probably just a racial cult. You call it Christianity and you drape it in Christian imagery, but it's a racial cult, because what it really is about is it's about some kind of black victimization, solidarity, ideology. It's not about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because, you know, Jesus didn't die for black people or white people or Asian. He died for all, and he loves us all. And the Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. How can you rejoice at the killing of a man? And particularly you ought to be particularly cautious, because this could be your brother in Christ. If indeed you are a Christian, this could be your brother in Christ, and you are dancing on his grave, and you think God approves of that? So, and I just left it alone. I because again, folks, you don't know what to say to people who are in that state. But I'll tell you one thing, a person who can do that, in my view, I don't care what they say, they're not a Christian. When Ruth Gator, Bader Ginsburg died, I remember going on my podcast and saying, you know, look, I didn't agree with her, but she had people who loved her and cared about her. She is a human being, in spite of the fact that I don't agree with her policies and I don't agree with her on a number of issues. She is a human being. There are people who loved her, and I want to respect that and not use this opportunity to just dump on her. You know, there'll come a time to debate her cases and her rulings, but this is a human being who's died, and there are people who love her, and we need to respect that. Now, that was my response, but you would think you'd get a similar response. Jamie Lee Curtis is the only person I've seen on the Democrat side to say, look, I didn't agree with Charlie Kirk, but my heart weeps over his death and his assassination. Now, I can respect that. I still don't agree with you perhaps any more than he did, or you agree with him, but I can at least respect that you have enough humanity to say that the killing of a human being over political issues or over anything for that matter is a travesty and a tragedy, and we should not be celebrating it. We should not be lauding it. We should not be praising it, as some people are willing to do. Again, it just goes to show, too, how much Satan has his clutches on people, and it just has it just dug into them, because that, to me, is deeply demonic to do that. And we're not going to do it, no matter what they do to us, because we're going to take the high road, as Dr. King said. We're going to take the high road of moral excellence, and we're not going to let anybody make us stoop so low as to hate them, even though they may hate us. And make no mistake, the people who hate Charlie Kirk, they hate all of us. Every one of you on this call, they hate every single one of us because of what we stand for. And we're just going to love them anyway and try to pray them into heaven anyway. I say, I'd rather you hate me here and hug my neck in heaven than to placate you here and have you go to hell. So we're going to keep praying for them and keep witnessing to them and keep hoping that they'll get a revelation. In the meantime, we're going to certainly fight the good fight of faith for our country to be a nation whose God is the Lord, whether they like it or not, which means we're going to fight all policies that are godless, and we're going to support policies that are godly. And, you know, I mean, we're just not – and I am not going to sanction and support killing of unborn babies in order to make people like me or make people happy or make people not dislike me. I don't care. I should, like we all, I think all of us would rather people like us than dislike us. But I'm not going to sell my soul to get people to like me. I'm going to, because the one I really want to be pleased with me is Jesus. If he's pleased with me, you know, anybody else is, well, praise God, good, that's gravy. But the most important person is him, because he's the one who is going to be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, because that's what we all ought to be working toward. That's what we all are looking for. And if the whole world hates you and Jesus says, well done, I'm satisfied. I really am, you know. He said, beware when all men speak well of you. He said, because that's what they've done for the false prophets who came before you. So no, thank you. I'll take authentic faith and love, in Jesus Christ, than trying to raise a crowd and get people to like me because I'm saying all the things that they think I ought to be saying as a black man and all the things that they think I ought to be thinking because, you know, as because I'm supposed to be a Democrat because I'm a black man, all that old stereotypical nonsense that is so unchristian and ungodly because it has nothing to do with principle, has everything to do with trying to be accepted by the world. And Jesus said, the word of God says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, because all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father but of the world. And the world is passing away along with its lusts, but those who do the will of God abide forever. So we pay tribute to the memory of Charlie Kirk and pray for his family and all of those who knew him and loved him, and for Turning Point USA and Turning Point Faith, for those organizations to continue to thrive and prosper and to be even stronger than they ever were before. Now, let me say, tomorrow is Constitution Day. Tomorrow we're doing an all-day Constitution Day Standathon. We will be live streaming from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., 10 full hours of live stream programming. We're going to have a number of guests on. Matt Staver is going to join us. Bob McEwen is going to join us. Alan West is going to join us. I'm going to have my son on, who is a big Second Amendment advocate. He's going to be with us. My wife is going to be with us talking about educational choice, because we have a school, the Maximum Potential Christian Academy, that we're going to be talking about. I'm going to have folks on from Nutramax, the big company. They're a major sponsor of this event. They're a Christian company, and praise God for them, because they've become dear friends and supporters of ours. And they have some great products, too, by the way, which I'll talk a little bit about tomorrow. If you're not familiar with them, look them up, Nutramax. They have products for pets, supplements for pets, as well as some supplements for people. But they're just a great Christian family, and they run their company as a Christian company. I'm probably leaving. Andrew Womack's going to be joining me tomorrow as well. So we're going to have a really great day of programming. And I'm going to be asking people for three things, essentially. One is to pray for our country first and foremost. Oh, do we need to be praying for America right now? Because, you know, in some ways, you know, you would like to think something like this would unite us. I think it is bringing people to the fore who maybe been sitting on the sidelines who agree with us. But it seems to have exacerbated the hatred of the left. I mean, it seems to have just caused them to come out. You know how many people have been fired? Doctor has been fired. A judge is under investigation in Cincinnati. A coach has been fired. A cheerleading coach has been fired out in Idaho. I mean, you've had a number of people, a FEMA executive, a Secret Service agent, I mean, who have been fired for Secret Service agent, I think, has been suspended, but for posting vicious, nasty statements about how Charlie Kirk brought this on himself, and, you know, you preach hate, and this is what you get, and all of this stuff. I mean, it's one thing for people to be stupid enough to believe these things. It's quite another thing for them to go public with it, and to actually, this coach had got fired in Idaho. She came on a Snapchat video just laced with every kind of profanity imaginable. That blankety blank, and I'm glad that blankety blank is dead. And this woman is coaching girls in a high school. So, again, these are not people you would think of as just fringe people, you know, sitting in their living rooms, you know, smoking marijuana and posting stupid things online. These are professionals, a doctor, a Secret Service agent, a coach. I mean, these are people you think had their heads on straight. It's certainly enough to be doing very responsible jobs, but it just goes to show the degree to which the devil has infiltrated our country and has gotten people in all kinds of places to believe the most bizarre and wicked and twisted things. I'm frankly a little bit taken aback, because it really reveals how deep the division is in the country, and that division is caused by the left that's trying to pull us away from our historic roots as a Judeo-Christian nation. It's not because we have somehow, as Christians and conservatives, somehow now sought to impose on the country some new agenda. It's that we've been trying to hold fast to the values that made the country great. And you've got people who have arisen to say, oh, no, 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 we don't accept those values. We hate those values. We're going to tear those values down. We're going to give the country a new set of values. And anybody who doesn't go along, we're going to punish you. That's where the divisions come from. The division hasn't come from us. I mean, we're more divided now, perhaps, than we were when I graduated from law school. But my views haven't changed. So I haven't done anything different. But they've done some very different things, or at least tried to get the country to go along with some very different things. And so we just have to pray for America. So we're asking everybody to pray for America. Pray for Stan, because I really believe that we have a role to play. I'm particularly committed more even than I ever have been to the deracialization of America. We're starting something new called the Movement to Deracialize America, that we've got to stop viewing people as – representatives of some racial group and start looking at each person as an individual. I mean, this stuff has just got to stop, because in the end, it's not a white man who was murdered. It was a human being who was murdered, our fellow human being, our fellow citizen, and for Christians, our brother in Christ who was murdered. But this stuff of racializing everything and trying to diminish people on the basis of race, particularly if you happen to be white, oh, boy, you are the bottom of the barrel. You are the paradigm of all that is evil. I mean, this stuff has got to stop. It is deeply, deeply offensive and deeply wicked, and we just got to end it. We've got to start saying, look, we are Americans. We see each other as fellow Americans. That's all. We see each other as individuals. That's all. We see each other as fellow human beings. That's all. And the rest is really irrelevant as far as I'm concerned, unless we are doing some kind of study of ancestry and backgrounds and history and all that, and that's fine. But it's not so I can categorize you as, oh, you're this, and therefore you're that. You come from this group of people, and therefore, and I draw then all kinds of specious conclusions about who you are, because I see you not as an individual with your own set of experiences, your own background, your own unique perspective and personality. No. I just see you as a stereotypical representative of a group, and that's all you are. And this stuff has got to stop. It really does. It is poisonous. It is lethal. Jesus said, "A kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation," and we simply can't have that in America. So I'm more committed than ever to making that movement work. I mean, I've been thinking a lot since the assassination of our brother. It would be great to do something similar in the black community, to have go in there and gather people together and have an open forum and an open discussion. Because I have been saying, you know, because people call we who are conservatives and happen to be Americans of African ancestry, we're sellouts, we're Uncle Toms, we're this, we're that. I said, but, you know, I just find that so ironic. I'd love to have that debate. So let me get this straight. You support Planned Parenthood that has killed millions of unborn black babies and has essentially committed genocide in the black community. I think it's about 20 million black babies that they've killed. You support them. I oppose them, but I'm the sellout? Explain that one to me. How is it that the person who advocates the killing of all these millions of black babies is somehow authentically for the black community, and the person who opposes it is somehow a traitor to the black community? I tell you what, if you gave those babies a vote, I know who they would vote to be authentically black, if you want to put it that way. It wouldn't be the person who's responsible for supporting their killing. And on it goes, you know, equating homosexuality with being black. And I oppose that because skin color is an immutable physiological outward characteristic that says nothing about your character, your ability, your competence, your decency, your honor, your integrity, nothing. And yet, the person who stands up and says, I oppose that, that's wrong, that person's a seller to the black community, and the person who sides up with people who say, oh, yeah, they're the same thing, black and gay, black and gay, black and gay, they're the same thing, and I'm the sellout? I'll tell you what, I'll gladly have that debate any day of the week and twice on Sunday. I'm sure all of you know this, these idiots who use the term don't, but they don't realize Uncle Tom's Cabin, Uncle Tom was a Christian hero. Uncle Tom protected the lives of two slave women who escaped and also protected the life of Simon Legree, his vicious, mean, racist slave master, and would not retaliate against him for only one reason. He wanted the man to be saved. He said, I will not respond to him because if something happens to me, I'm going to heaven. If something happens to him in his condition, he's going to hell. And I want him to go to heaven. Well, he was expressing the love of Christ. Weak, sycophant? Not by any stretch of the imagination. He was trying to do the will of God toward a person who was his mortal enemy. Well, that's heroic. It's not cowardly. It's not sycophantic. That's not a wimp. That's not a weasel. I mean, frankly, that's a man. That is a real man, a Christian man. I'm happily associated with Uncle Tom in Uncle Tom's Cabin for anybody who really knows what that story was all about. But, of course, like anything else, they twist it and turn it and try to make it into something it's not. So look, we've got a big day ahead of us tomorrow. I'm asking for you all to pray for us, to join us. We're going to be live streaming on all of the venues we use, our Facebook page, YouTube channel, Rumble, thecallchurch.org, standamerica.us. So wherever, if you join me for any of my podcasts or you watch my sermon on Sundays, wherever you watch it, you should be able to see tomorrow's program, Constitution Day, as well. Like I said, we'll be on all day with it. And we're asking again for prayer. We're asking people to volunteer. And here's the two things we're asking people for. Well, three things really, but the top two are we're asking people to volunteer to help us start chapters around the country. That's been a major quest for us. And, of course, what's inhibited us more than anything else is the lack of resources to really follow through and to help the people who want to get us started there. But nevertheless, we've had some folks get started with us and trying to do the very best they can. We've got people, as I've said, all over the country. We just haven't been able to activate them into an organized group. But we've also come up with something else during Project 76, which is a stand ambassador. All of you can become stand ambassadors. Now, an ambassador is different. The ambassador doesn't have to organize a group, doesn't have to organize a chapter. An ambassador just has to say, I want to be an ambassador for Stan, and I'm willing to speak in behalf of Stan, in behalf of Bishop E.W. Jackson, our president, in our local area, in our state, in our communities. When we put out statements and put out stuff, you can pick it up and run with it. We've got a number of things that we're going to be doing. I mean, so for example, as part of Project 76, we're calling for September 17th to be a federal holiday. I am frankly a little incensed, and it's just interesting, poignant that Charlie Kirk passed away during this period leading right up to Constitution Day, because he's really the embodiment of the free speech rights that the Constitution secures for us. But I am unhappy with the level of awareness and celebration of Constitution Day, because it really is, and think about this, folks, it really is the second most important day in American history. It really is, because, I mean, we've been living under this Constitution for 238 years. It's been amended, but it has endured. It is the most successful governing document in the history of mankind, and it implements the vision set forth by the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence declared our independence and the basis for it. Of course, it took 5 years of war for that to become secured. But then it took 11 years after the Declaration to finally establish the form of government that Declaration foresaw. And we've been living under that form of government from the very beginning. And it's, I mean, you know, from the September 17th, 1787, when it was passed. I mean, it wasn't ratified for a couple of years, but for all practical purposes, once it passed, with George Washington behind it and many of our founding fathers behind it, it was destined to become the basis of our government. And 2 years later, George Washington was inaugurated as the first president of the United States. So we ought to know more, and only 15% of the American people even know that September 17th is the day our Constitution was passed. That's got to change. And I say one way to change that, if we made September 17th a federal holiday, everybody would know when the Constitution was passed. And I don't mean the Monday after. I mean that day. We ought to commemorate that day and encourage Americans to read the Constitution that day. Tell your children about it. Explain to them that it's our governing, supreme governing document. Explain to it that it's to them that it secures the rights that God gave us. We really need to reestablish in the hearts and minds of our people, America as a constitutional republic. I don't know whether you all caught this, but there's one clip of a debate between Charlie Kirk and somebody saying, "We're a democracy, we're a democracy." And he begins to explain to the person, "No, we're not." Well, you can just see people's heads exploding when you tell them we're not a democracy, because really they think you want us to be a dictatorship or you want whatever, because they're just ignorant. But he explained, no, we are a constitutional republic. And then he went on to explain the difference between a constitutional republic and a democracy. And he explained that the founding fathers made clear they did not want us to be a democracy. They wanted us to be a constitutional republic where the power of government is limited and where not even the majority has the right to vote away the rights of the minority. So, but how many Americans know that? Based on my studies, precious few. That's got to change, because that's part of unifying us for our future. If we can't even agree on the document that governs our country, I mean, my goodness, what hope do we have? We've got a big day planned tomorrow, celebrating the Constitution, the Judeo-Christian values that undergird it. We're going to be talking about the Family Restoration Institute that we've created. We're going to be talking about individual liberty over identity politics, which is, you know, the movement to deracialize America. We've been talking about the rule of law and supporting law enforcement. We got a separate website for that even. We've been talking about educational choice. I'm going to spend some time talking about honoring the American flag, too, because the flag, the national anthem, the Constitution of the United States, the Declaration of Independence, these are things that ought to unify us as Americans rather than things that people attack and tear down. So we're going to be doing everything we can to try to get something started tomorrow. And we're going to do this from year to year. Project 76, that prophetic revelation that I got, that there were 76 days from July 4th to September 17th, and I really believe that's just an indication of God's hand on our country. We're going to be doing this every year, and we hope it will build and grow from year to year, and that a movement really will get started to make September 17th a federal holiday. Not to put too fine a point on this, folks, but I'll tell you, there's something wrong with Americans knowing what Juneteenth is when it's really just a Texas thing. And only 15% of Americans knowing what September 17th is, when that's a nationwide thing that affects every single American. And, you know, all these black people denouncing Charlie Kirk, who was a constitutionalist, a constitutional conservative, when the Constitution gave us the 14th, the 15th, the 13th, the 14th, and 15th Amendments, the end of involuntary servitude legally, citizenship in the 14th Amendment, the right to vote in the 15th Amendment. These are things we all can celebrate because it impacts us all, as opposed to celebrating something that is really just kind of a specialized thing, and in my view, something that was just done to pander to people after the George Floyd situation. That's all, just try to quiet the natives as opposed to trying to really bring us together. And I think September 17th can serve that role, and it certainly ought to, since it's such an important day for all of us. So please join us. Please pray for us. And then the third thing, of course, is pray for us, volunteer, either as a to start a chapter or as an ambassador. Well, the third thing, way to volunteer is with whatever you have to offer. Whatever you have to offer. You've got a skill. You've got an ability. You've got something you know how to do. I mean, I'll tell you something. If you know anybody out there who is a Christian conservative who loves God and wants to do something to help the movement and knows studio technology, well, send that person my way, because I can tell you we have been tied up in fits trying to get my studio to keep it working, to make the changes that need to be made, and you know, there are people out there who will do it, but I'll tell you what, knowing that you don't have a whole lot of choices, they will absolutely they will run you through the financial wringer to get stuff done. And we're looking for people who have expertise And I'm not looking for people. I mean, I'd love for somebody to volunteer, of course. But you know, we're willing to compensate people for their work. The labor is worthy of its hire. But, you know, it's a lot easier when you know people are dedicated to what you're doing rather than people are simply dedicated to the dollar and they'll just take you for every dime they can and could care less about anything else. So there's also that. But volunteers for any of in any of these areas or whatever skill ability you have would be great. And then finally, giving. We're going to be asking people to please give. You know, folks, it takes a lot to do what we're doing, and people take it for granted. For example, I just mentioned doing meetings in inner cities where we actually challenge people to say, okay, explain to me how I'm a sellout. Explain to me how Charlie Kirk's a racist. Tell me what you know that brings you to that conclusion, and I'll tell you what I know, and then let's see where the evidence takes us. I mean, you know, that sounds great, and it would be great to do, but it costs money. We did one meeting in Chicago one time. We've done meetings throughout the history of this organization, but I can tell you every single one of them has been expensive. We did one meeting out of Chicago, and it cost us $25,000 to do it. $25,000. By the time you pay for hotels and you pay for transportation and you pay for food and you pay for space and you pay for the marketing and all of that, $25,000 to do a meeting out of Chicago to bring people together to say, hey, rebuilding the family, reestablishing relationships with police, educational choice, faith in God. These are the things that Chicago needs. Chicago doesn't need communists running the city who hate God and hate America, which is what they've got right now. The present mayor of Chicago is a total racist. Period. He is a total racist, and he'll never be able to help Chicago. I hope ultimately President Trump can get in there and start saving the lives, because we've got a list of children who have been murdered in the cities of our country, and guess which city has got the most murdered children? That's right, Chi-Town. They're telling us, oh, no, crime is going down. They're lying through their teeth. Because they know Chicago is one of the most dangerous places you can live. So it costs money to do what we do. And we're asking you to give. If it's nothing but $5 a month. And we have Patriot Partners who give once a year, Patriot Partners who just give sporadically, Patriot Partners who make a monthly contribution. But we're asking for more Patriot Partners to a deluge of people to just say, listen, EW, I'm with you. Here's $5 a month. Here's $10 a month. Here's $15 a month. You can count on that. Because, you know, 1,000 of those is worth – believe me, folks, it's worth really than more than one major contribution, because usually a major contribution comes once, and that's it. But those kinds of gifts that just keep on coming create a lot of stability for an organization. So if you're not now giving – I urge you to sign up to give to what we are doing, because if you believe in what we're doing, folks, the way you show that is you put your money where your mouth is. And so we know the Bible says you can't give according to what you do not have. You give according to what you have. So anything you give is going to be appreciated. As I said, we have people sending $5 a month, and believe me, we love them and appreciate them and pray for them just as much as we do those major donors. Because we know in the long term that person is going to have a tremendous impact. But we're grateful to everybody. Don't get me wrong. We appreciate major donors. So we're also looking for donors who will give what I call endowment donors, who can give $250,000, $500,000, $1 million or more to help make sure that this organization has strength and longevity and reach and influence. People who can give in their states. Include Stan in their will. My wife and I have included Stan in our church in our will because we wouldn't ask others to do something we haven't done. And we're not asking people to forfeit all they want to give to their heirs, but we're saying, but include something in the future of this country. If you believe, as I do, that racial division in this country is a potential deadly poison that's got to be addressed, help me to address it. Because, frankly, very few really are addressing it, not head on. I mean, Nobody in our movement likes it. Nobody in our movement wants it. But a lot of people feel, well, there's nothing I can do. And a lot of people feel like, well, I would love to do something, but I don't have the ability. I don't have the resources. So there's something we want to do. We've got the ability. I believe we definitely have the ability. We have the human resources as well, but we need more money in order to be able to really tackle this the way it needs to be tackled. Charlie Kirk couldn't have done the things he did without millions of dollars behind him. And boy, I'm grateful to God. I just heard a story not too long ago that going home to be with the Lord now, but former billionaire, forgive me, I'm drawing a blank, but it'll come to me, gave him his start, just said, you know what, I'll invest in you. I think he wasn't much older than 18, 19 years old when he got his first major gift, and off he ran. Well, the largest gift we've ever gotten is a little bit over $100,000. That's the largest single gift we've gotten. But we're believing God for others to step up with even more than that. And we know there are people out there. So I know those of you on this call probably don't have that, but pray that the Lord will open the door for someone to do that, because someone is able to do that for us and does it. We are able to do more for you, for our country, and engage and involve more of you in what we are doing. Believe me, my vision right now is much bigger than the provision, but I'm believing God for the provision to match the vision. So anything you can do to help would be much appreciated. Well, look, folks, I've run the gamut here because I'm excited about tomorrow, I'm not going to take time today to spend a lot of time today to answer questions, but since I've taken up so much, oh my goodness, I've gone over time, so I'm just going to cut it off here and not ask you all to stay any longer than this, and I've got 1,000 things left to do between now and tomorrow when we start this all-day Constitution Day standathon, which I hope you all will be joining with us for. But in the meantime, you all know what we have to do. You know, keep praying. Keep believing. Just don't quit. Don't let what's happened to Charlie or anything else for that matter discourage you. We ought to be that much more determined when we see the enemy rising up this way, because it means what we're doing is having an impact, so much so that the devil's trying to raise up people to kill us in order to stop us, but he can't stop us. You know, they in this case, they killed that messenger, but they certainly didn't kill the message, because the message is going out stronger now than ever. Because I can tell you all, I know people who didn't know Charlie Kirk until this. Now they're learning about him. Now they see, oh, wow, Charlie, yeah. Never heard of Charlie Kirk because they just weren't engaged, they weren't involved, they weren't traveling in those circles, and they had never heard of him. But they know about him now, and I guarantee you, I don't think there's an American alive now who doesn't know who Charlie Kirk is. And he certainly didn't have that level of name recognition before. So God is using this evil act. He didn't cause it. He didn't generate it. He didn't create it. But he's using it to further even stronger the cause for which Charlie Kirk stood, and praise God for it. So what we need to do in honor of Charlie Kirk and in loyalty, utmost loyalty to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whom Charlie is walking with right now, is to stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. That's what Charlie did. That's what Trump is doing. That's what all of us need to do, knowing that we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.